Well, I'm sure glad I know he loved me. And the Bible tells us that he loved us before we loved him. And by his love, he drew us through the work of the Holy Spirit. We Sunday night, right before the shower, we dealt just a little bit with the subject of the Holy Spirit. And one of his jobs that has been given to him is that he draws people to the Lord. A person will never get saved unless the Holy Spirit works in their heart and draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his task. That's his position. And I'm so glad we have the scripture that tells us he loved us and that Jesus gave himself for us and that we are abiding in him because of his love to us. And that song says, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And I doubt we understand how much he loved us. I doubt we understand or could understand the real meaning of his love to us, because he was a God that took upon himself every sin and every nature that's sinful upon himself that day upon Calvary. And he did it because he loved us. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, of course, Hebrews is written to the Jewish people, and I really believe the Apostle Paul is the human author that the Lord inspired to write this. He does not give his name, and it's not known for sure, but much of the writing of Hebrews resembles so many things that Paul said at different times. And so I personally believe he, as a Jew of the Jews, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I believe certainly he could write them and explain to them the importance between the Old Testament, the way of the law, and in comparison to grace, because he had been in both systems and raised in one and born again out of that. And then the Lord, of course, put him in the ministry. But tonight I want us to look at a question that Paul raises here in verse number 6. We'll read verse 5 and verse 6 and 7. So we'll read those three verses. "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." The main question tonight is found here in this verse number 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? If we used to take time tonight, we could go to two or three other places, and you'll find that same question asked. The writer of Hebrews is restating something that was said in the book of Psalms, number 8, verse 3 and 4, and also Psalm 144, verse number 3. That question is asked in those two other places. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And that he would visit us and he would have any doings and dealings with us at all, because the Lord, God knew us. He knew how wicked a sinner we would be and are. He knew our nature. He knew that in a fallen state we would be nothing that would be desired, but yet he cared for us. And we can sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But we ask the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I was looking through some old material that I have. My home preacher, as he lived, and he was the only pastor that I ever knew until I went off to college. Before he died, I went to see him. He's very sick. And he told me, he said, "I'm going to give you a lot of my old sermons." And I treasure those very, very much. And one of his daughters the other day on Facebook said, "Yeah, I know you've got his sermons." And like, "Yeah, I do too." And so I may Later on, I may do something with those. I didn't get all of them, but I got a big majority of a lot of his sermons. And I was looking through some stuff, and I pulled out one of them and just began to look at it and to read over the things that were given. And I began to look at where he said it was, he wrote down when, certain times, certain places. And I know he pastored a church in Lewisburg, I think either Lewisport or Lewisburg, Kentucky. He preached it the first time there. And that's been over 60 years ago, 65 years ago probably. And it was more than that because, anyway, it's on the sheet of paper and it's in bad shape. So I made a copy. So I'm not preaching my sermon tonight, but I'm preaching using his outline. And I never did hear him preach this. A lot of them that I have, I did hear and I do remember them. But I made a copy of it, and the copy is pretty bad just simply because the paper is as brown as this desktop. But it doesn't change the meaning. It doesn't matter what generation we have. It doesn't matter the age of the message. The message that's important is what's given in the Word of God. Now, he outlined a whole lot different than I would. And he did things different than anybody else. And hard sometimes, some of his messages are handwritten, and they are handwritten. And so they're very difficult. But this one here, it's on an old typewriter. But I just wanted to share some things tonight that he put down here. And I looked over them and added some things and took some things out. But he entitled it, Man and His Maker. Man has a creator, and we are sure of that because of the scripture. And then the psalmist writes, and it's repeated here in the book of Hebrews, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So we do have a maker. We are the creation of the Lord, and this question, what is man, can only be answered by the Word of God. Certainly science has not given us an adequate answer what man is. Science can't give us any kind of answer as to where man's going. Doesn't have any idea, doesn't know. And so the only place that we can go to find the answer to a biblical question is the Bible. And so tonight I want us to look at these scriptures and some things in other places about man and what he is. Man has tried to be looked at and studied through many different eyes and many different people, many different avenues, but they still haven't come up with a conclusion what man is. They still haven't come up with a conclusion how is man even born, or how does that miracle take place. But God tells us and God gives us some things about man. What is man? He has a beginning. And by the way, man is the crown of God's creation. We can see all the beauty of God's creation, and everything we look at is underneath the curse. It's not as beautiful as God made it because it's cursed, and it's still, it has the curse of sin upon it. But you can go to the different places in our own country and around the world, and you'll find that this old place we call planet Earth, it has some beautiful places. But man is the crowning event and the crowning creative event that God did. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then he began to work on it, and the capstone of all that work was that he made man and woman. Created man in his own image and made him like unto him. And he created man that would be able to look toward God and be able to serve the Lord. The Bible says in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, so God created man in his own image. In Genesis chapter number 2, in verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. So that tells us where we came from. What is man? We're dust of the ground. We don't have a whole lot of value as far as minerals are concerned. But we are valuable to the Lord. And the psalmist says, what is man? Why would God even look toward us? Why would God even consider you and I? The Bible says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 10, hath not one God, or hath not our God created us? So we have the understanding that we are the creative act of the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, by Him were all things created. All things are consisting by Him. All things are upheld by the Lord. And yet, God has time for mankind. And the Scripture says in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He goes on and tells us that He made man. And so, why was man created? Man was created to have fellowship with God. He was created to have a union with the Lord. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4:11, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. And that's pretty clear. God has created all things, and we and all the creation is for God's pleasure. And He loves us. He considers us. He says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Man's original dignity was that he was created in the image of God. That's pretty high creation. God didn't make the mountains in His image. God didn't make the sands of the sea and all the different beautiful things of this world. God didn't make them in His image. God made man. God made humans. God made man and woman in His image, that He might have fellowship. He was made holy. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 29, I read this on this list, and I looked it up, and it just simply says, God hath made man upright. Mankind, human beings, we are the only group of all the creation that looks upward. Everything else looks toward the earth. A dog, a cow, a horse, they're looking down. Man looks up. And the Scripture says that God has made man upright. And so these things that sometimes we take for granted, these things that we don't really think about, is very important, because that's the way God made us, and therefore it is important. God made man innocent. He was innocent in everything that he did. The Scripture says that they were naked in the garden, and they were there with no embarrassment until sin moved in. And that's when Adam hid himself, because he was naked. And God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" And so man was made in innocency, and man had no sin until he broke the law of God and broke the rule of the Lord. And it is an amazing thing that God only told them one thing that they could not do, and they could not stand to not do it. Only one thing: don't eat of the tree. Don't take of that one. Everything else is yours, Adam. Everything else is yours. You can do what you want. You can have it, but keep your hands off of that one. And they could not even do that. You know why? Because they were lacking. They broke the law of the Lord, and they became sinners. And so therefore, man was to have dominion over everything. But now we find there are things that have dominion over us because of the wickedness of man and the sinfulness of man. So what is man? We know he's the creation of the Lord. We know he's created a certain way. We know that he has certain things for himself. And we know man has certain things. But really, what is he according to the Scripture? Well, first of all, he's mortal. He's going to leave here one day. We're not immortal. One day we will be, and we'll put on immortality. But right now we are mortal people, and we're dying because we're just dirt. We're just of the dust of the earth. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, there shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And so that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And that tells us that we are mortal. Psalm 103 verse 14 says, He remembereth that we are but dust. God knows who we are. God knows how He made us. And I'm sure every once in a while He has to remember, they're just dirt. That's why they act the way they act. They're just of the dirt. They're just of the dust. And God remembers that we are but dust. He remembers and he tells us in Psalm 146 that we're going to return to the earth. We're going to go back to dust. Turn back to the book of Psalms, if you would. Psalm number 49. And read a few verses here, starting with verse number 12. Nevertheless, verse 12 of Psalm 49, nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they have laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. So these verses, the psalmist, he says, man is here. Man's here for a little while. And he has honor, but it does not abide with him. He has honor, but it's not going to stay with him. And so man is just a mortal being that is here for a moment. James says we're like a vapor that appeareth for just a moment, then we vanish away. It's like that steam that comes up off the stove. You're cooking something, and the steam comes up, and all of a sudden, it's not there. That's how we are. We are here, we leave an impression, and then we're gone. And we are but mortal people. Number two, we are of few days. Job tells us in Job 14:1 that man that is born of woman is of a few days, and what? Full of trouble. That's what man is. What is man? He's a troubled being. He's a short-lived person. He's not worth much. He doesn't have any value about himself at all, but yet, what is man that God would look upon us? Man is mortal. Man is dying. He's full of trouble. Job chapter 5, and of course, Job, anyone that would know what trouble is about would be Job. In Job 5, he says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. I put in my mind that wheel that people used to be a foot cranked wheel that would sharpen axes and different than that. Now it's all electricity, but the sparks still fly upward. And Job said, man is like that, as he is born to trouble as the sparks fly up. Just as sure as they're going to go up, a man's going to have trouble. So that gives us a little bit of detail. So he is a mortal person. He's a few days. He has a lot of trouble. And I'm going to just repeat this one. I'm not going to add anything to this one except what the words here are. He is a creature of extreme ignorance. I read that. I said, well, that's pretty good conclusion of what man is. He's a creature of extreme ignorance. And I'm going to give the verses that are here. Job chapter 8, verse 9. We are but of yesterday and know nothing. That's pretty good. We're here. We were here yesterday, but we don't know anything. And that's pretty much where we are. And that's where we find ourselves. Proverbs 27:1 says, Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know anything. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We think, we plan, we work, we have things to do tomorrow, but we don't know. We're ignorant as far as what yesterday was. We're ignorant as far as what tomorrow is. All that we have is right now. And so man, certainly he is a creature of extreme ignorance. 1 Corinthians 8:2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. If we think we know more, if we think we know something, probably don't know what we think we do. You ever heard somebody say, oh, they think they know it all? Well, God says that too. He said, they think they know it all, but they don't know anything. They don't have any inclination about what it is. And so we look after all the things of life, and we can't even explain what happened yesterday. We're still spinning over what took place today, and we certainly don't know what tomorrow may hold for us. We have no idea. And so when you use the word ignorant, we classify as ignorant. Now, ignorance is not a bad word. It just means you don't know. I don't know all of what took place yesterday. I'm still wondering about some things today, and I know nothing about tomorrow. So, as the Scripture says, we know nothing, and we think we know so much. Man is a creature of extreme ignorance. So we find he's mortal, he's short-lived, he's full of trouble, he doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge, he's ignorant on that, and he certainly is a child of wrath. He is depraved, he is sinful, he is ungodly, he's apart from God, he's away from the Lord, has no dealings with God in himself. It only comes about by the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God is preached, the message is given, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if a person's ever going to go to heaven, it's going to be because of they heard the Word of God and because the Holy Spirit convicted their heart and they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So David says in Psalms 8, 3 and 4, these same words that the Hebrew writer repeats. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son or the son of man that he visited him? Go to Psalm 144 and verse number 3. This is a restatement of it. Psalm 144. If I can get to it. Psalm 144, verse number 3. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Pretty much the same thing as that thou knowest him. Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Lord, what is man? David answers it in verse number 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are a shadow that passeth away. That's just another restatement of some of the things we looked at just a moment ago. So man doesn't have any wealth. He doesn't have any goods. He doesn't have anything that is worthwhile. But why is God mindful of mankind? To be mindful means we remember or we recollect. We remember things in the past. We recall those to our mind. We fix our thoughts upon certain things. And to just think about how the Lord came from heaven and came to this earth. He condescended and he came to this earth to a generation, to a creation that did not want him, did not love him. And somebody said, well, if he'd come back today, it'd be different. No, it'd be worse today. My goodness, it's terrible today. And can you imagine what they would do to the Lord? And so he is looking, he remembers us because he's going to visit us. He visits us through the Word of God. Visit means to come to, or one way of visiting is to have an inspection. Twice a year here at school, we have an inspection. The health department man comes and visits us, and he does it for inspection, and he does it to look at everything around, make sure what it should be. Probably once or twice a year, the fire chief comes and he visits us. Now, I don't mind the health man, but I sure get nervous with the fireman, and because he holds a whole lot of power. And I'm glad he's a Christian. I'm glad he's sympathetic to Christian schools. And he said, I'll never send anybody out here but me. And I said, thank you. and so he says, there's plenty of things here that need to be fixed as far as regulations. He said, but you're safe, you're okay, and everything's well. I pray he lives as long as I do. But man, we visit, we inspect, we look, we select, we come for a purpose. And the Lord visited us one day for a purpose. He came to this world to die for mankind. Oh, but thank God for the night he came to me personally. Thank the Lord for the day he came and visited me. What is man? I'm nothing. I have nothing. I have no worth to offer him. But yet he considered me. And yet he considered all of us. And we we have that he took us. And when he inspected us, you know what he found? Pure ignorance. When he looked at us, you know what he saw? Just dirt. But he knew what the finished product could be one day when we get to heaven. And he has created us for what purpose? And that's to have fellowship. That's to be to reverence toward him. And that day when everything's said and done, life's ended, and one day we'll be with the Lord. And you know what we'll have? We'll have a never-ending relationship, fellowship with God. And then we'll understand why God loved us so much. He just wants us to be with him. He just wants his creation. He wants his men, his women. He wants them there to worship and to adore him as we should. The songwriter put it this way, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And we can praise him. We can honor him. And God said if the people didn't shout out for the Lord, the rocks would cry out. Well, he looks at us and we can cry out for him, and we're far better, we're far more important than the rocks, and we're just dust. But we're that crowning creative act of the Lord. We're that group that he looks upon and desires that we have fellowship one with another. So when you read Hebrews 2:6, you're also reading Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, and Psalm 144, verse 3. That's the three places that this is used. And the writer of Hebrews, all he is doing is just restating what's already been said. And what David did the second time was just restate in a little different manner of what he already said in Psalm chapter 8, 3 and 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Still a mind-boggling thought. Why would God look at us? Why would God smile upon us? Because he knows us better than anybody else, and he still loves us. Who was it, one of the Goodmans years ago wrote that song, "Who Am I?" Who am I that a king would look down and love me? And tonight we found out we're not much. We're just dust. We're troubled. We're short-lived. And we don't know much. But yet he loved us. Sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us that we might live forever and forever. Let's stand together tonight.